high near 73 degrees. From the Weather Eye Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Vujicic.
It's a gorgeous morning across central Wisconsin. 52 in Wausau, 57 in Marshville, 54 in Stevens Point, and sunny skies and double nickels, 55 degrees here at AM 1320 in Wisconsin Rapids.
Good morning, and welcome back to The Morning Magazine, presented by Comfort Air Heating, Cooling, Plumbing, and Riverview Hospital in Wisconsin Rapids. It's time for part two. Once again, here's Carl Hilke.
Thanks, Jerry, and it's time once again for another edition of Financial Insights from Buena Vista Investment Management with Pete Bry. Their phone number is 715-422-0700, 422-0700. They are your local investment professionals. And today's topic with Pete are elections and the market. And with that, we welcome Pete Bry. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How are we today?
I'm fine. I'm fine. Looking forward to the first Big Ten game of the season tomorrow.
Yeah, that's always comforting. You know, it's always, those, a lot of times those first games are not easy to watch. And, a lot of times you don't even know where the school's located. It's much more fun when they get to the real competition, and it would appear that the Big Ten's pretty balanced, so that we can see a lot of quality football or close football games.
And that'll be a lot of fun. But our topic today, we got elections going on, and we hear about how markets can affect elections and how elections can affect markets. But one of the things we want to talk about is it's kind of counterintuitive and how these things can be viewed sometimes in terms of what you may think a certain outcome would favor the market as compared to another outcome.
Yep. Let's start and just talk about the election cycle as it pertains to the markets. Over the years in the market, we've seen that in the presidential year, on average, the market's been up 6.7%. All right, and interestingly enough, of the four-year cycle, the year prior to the election year, so in this case 2011, usually averages 13.4%. The year after the election is the weakest return year, and so you start looking at you start deciphering it from that. And again, I think the pre-election year tends to look at a situation where the people in office, the people who have the ability to make decisions that put money into the economy, so that people will vote for them, you see that going on. And then this year you see the anticipation of what's going on in the marketplace, from the economic side, standpoint, the money put in last year continues to have kind of a spillover effect into the election year. And then after the election, what tends to happen is that, especially in the presidential side, is that's their first year of a four-year period of time. In the first year is probably they're most likely to get whatever their agenda is. And that agenda oftentimes might be altering the rules and creating a little uncertainty and things like that. So, some of the things that you would expect in a normal politician's career kind of has that big picture effect on the marketplace. So, in general, that's what we're looking at, is that the pre-election year is really good. The election year tends to be good, and then the year after tends not to be so good.
Is that because of that uncertainty, or they're waiting to see what effect whatever changes have happened, what kind of effect they're going to have on the economy?
Well, I think
wait and see kind of attitude?
Yeah, to a certain extent. I mean, I think that, I think a really good indicator is that in 90% of the presidential elections over the last 112 years, so, you know, there's some history there. There's been quite a few. About 28 elections, I think. You're looking at that the direction of the market in the 2 months preceding the election kind of, it has had, in all cases but three, all right, have had great predictive ability as it pertains to the incumbent.
Okay.
All right. Or the incumbent party in cases where, you know, the president had to not run because of the rule that you can only be two terms.
But right.
So what we've seen is that in that 2 month, when we've seen gains in that period of time, with the exception of three times, the incumbent party has always won.
Wow.
And so you've got a couple things going there. Obviously, you know, a rising stock market, and this is kind of the overlying theme of the entire day today, is that a rising stock market basically indicates an improving economy. All right, because the market is a discounting mechanism. And so what it really is saying is that they have confidence that the market is the economy is going to get better, and it then correlates to, well, if the economy is getting better, the incumbent's probably got a better chance of being reelected because people tend to have jobs, they're making money, et cetera,
right,
et cetera,
right,
et cetera. So, I think that's a really strong case. And so, as we look at today, prior to today's market, and we're down a little today, in the first month of the 2 month prior to the election, we're up 4.7% before whatever happens today.
Okay. So, what happens if there's, say you're going up, and then say October, you have an October surprise? Because I've heard about this so-called October jinx. Investor, because some of the biggest crashes or plunges have happened in October.
The great plunges, the crash of 1929. And then probably the second most famous in 1987, the October, both occurred in October. The reality is that actually September, if you go regardless of presidential year, just go every September in the last 100+ years, it tends to be a little worse in October. So, but because those two events were so dramatic and so disheartening, you know, though, that's what everybody truly remembers. But in terms of your question, there really hasn't been, the studies, I guess, I reference is the overall return through. So if it averages positive through that 2 month period of time, there really, I haven't seen many studies where if September's up and October's down, or if September's down and October's up, it's more of that 2 month overall gauge. So, it'd be interesting to know, because, you know, if you have a dramatic turnaround, say like this month we end up plus or minus, you know, up four-ish, give or take, and next month we have a dramatic give back. I mean, what's that saying? And so we'd have to see what the result would be. But right now, I would just speculate on what that would mean.
Okay, we're going to take our one break during this segment, and we're going to talk about what the current market is saying about the election and prior and post-election analysis of the markets in this fall's elections. You're listening to Financial Insights from Buena Vista Investment Management with Pete Bry. Remember, their phone number is 715-422-0700. 422-0700. Back with more right after this.
Badger fans, when the men's basketball team hits the Kohl Center court this winter, make sure you have a seat. A limited number of season tickets are currently on sale. If you want to secure a seat for all home games, including Cal and Virginia, Big Ten matchups against Michigan State, Minnesota, and Ohio State, take advantage of this opportunity today. Season tickets are on sale now. For more information on Wisconsin men's basketball season tickets, call 1-800-GO-BADGERS or visit uwbadgers.com.
Progressive presents Flo's newest smash hit. The Name Your Price tool gives you lots of coverage options.
The Name Your Price tool. You give us a budget and we'll show you a range of coverage options. But we can't go over all the dessert options. Your server will be back in just a second and he'll explain.
The Name Your Price tool, only from Progressive. Visit Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Here's your forecast from the WeatherEye Weather Center.
We'll see a blend of clouds and sunshine here for this afternoon with light and variable wind conditions, and we'll see a high into the mid-70s. Later on this evening, partly cloudy skies, light and variable winds will continue, and we'll see a low near 38. By Saturday, a blend of clouds and sunshine early, then clearing. Winds will turn northeasterly between 5 and 15 miles per hour. We'll see a high near 73 degrees. From the WeatherEye Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki.
Thank you, Jennifer. Sunny skies and 55 degrees at AM 1320. Welcome back to Financial Insights from Buena Vista Investment Management with Pete Bry. Remember, their phone number is 715-422-0700. They are your local financial pros and investment pros. And let's talk about right now what the market appears might be saying or isn't saying, Pete, about the upcoming November elections. Can we read anything into a market prior to an election?
Well, I think you can because, you know, if you look at the level of the market, it's at the highs that we previously haven't seen since 2007. And so, again, people are buying into the market with rosy expectations, all right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I think what you look at right now, if you had to step back and said, what is the market saying? I would say that it's a judgment that our economy in the U.S. is getting better. All right. We're looking at record margins and earnings in the corporate sector. We're looking at relatively low interest rates. We're looking at a housing market that's starting to revive. And so from a standpoint of the economy, I think the market is saying we're looking good, all right? From a political standpoint, I guess my gut would tell me that the market's probably saying that in a big picture, status quo is going to prevail, i.e., that neither party is going to capture all three spots, the president, the Senate, and the Congress, that there will still be some kind of, split. And whether it's two Republican, one Democrat, or vice versa, it's hard to say. But again, if you would go back, the interesting thing, and we can get into this a little, but if today we end up over 4%, and this is probably one of the great secrets. That would make Barack Obama's first term the second best percentage return in the S&P 500. It would be about 82%+. And which leads to kind of an interesting insight in that the best term was Franklin Delano Roosevelt's 162% return in that time frame. Interestingly enough, the key thing for both those is that they got in coming off devastating market declines.
Okay.
And so they came from a relatively low base and was able to rebound. And when you go and look at the presidential terms as a collective whole, I think people might be surprised that four of the top five was under Democratic leadership. Roosevelt, Clinton, both terms, probably one of the greatest runs, an eight-year run in the marketplace. Only Dwight Eisenhower and his first term would was the fifth best, all right?
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, and again, probably somewhat surprising, is that the five worst terms, four of them came under Republicans, and both Bush, George W. Bush term, first and second, was the fifth and fourth worst performances. When Nixon took us off the gold standard back in the 70s, it was the third. And Herbert Hoover, who was at the helm in the Depression, and so, you know, people say, "Well, the Republicans, that'll be good for the market." And
right.
And the reality is, when you look at those extremes, obviously that doesn't pan out. But the median price gain in the S&P 500 over history during a Democratic regime is 27.5%. The return under a Republican regime is 27.3%. So, you know, if you just step back and you look at that, is maybe it doesn't matter, you know,
and things.
It's interesting when you look at this and you hear all this and rhetoric out there, and you know the Republicans get painted as the business party,
right,
and the Democrats are more liberal, more pro-government and things like that. You know, your expectations would be, I think, somewhat different, and I think what it says more than anything is it's always about the economy,
right.
And it's, you know, fortunate enough, some of good karma, you know, is when the economy turns, it helps who's ever in office. But again, if you just reference the mark I made earlier, you know, in the Great Depression and in 2008, when the market basically just really bottomed out.
Right.
You and I might have been able to be president and got a positive return. So, you know, it still comes back to the economy and what's going on within that economy and things. So the other part just...
So the market doesn't care about political philosophies or parties. It cares about results.
Correct. Yeah, I think that if you take away anything here, you know, it's about the economy and what's going on in the economy and things. You know, the other thing I would just briefly mention, which could be one of the reasons, you know, the market would tank, is that, you know, in previous shows we've talked about the fiscal cliff and the inability for Congress to figure out what's going to happen with the taxes, the end of some tax relief, the beginning of some spending cuts mandated by last year's debacle in the budget crisis. And I think the way the market's priced right now is that it is saying that'll get fixed. All right.
Okay.
And so the surprises and what could cause downward pressure on the market is if either party wins all three House, Senate, and presidency, and they don't fix the fiscal cliff. And so I think the market is priced for a lot of status quo. Get the fiscal cliff figured out. Europe kind of muddles along and doesn't necessarily. The euro dissipates. So, so any of those or any combination of those two or three things may not be in the market right now.
Okay, let's look at post market after the election, and let's say we'll start with status quo. It remains the same. Democrat president, a Republican House, and a Democrat Senate.
Yep.
Status quo. How would the market react?
Yeah, I would think that that's the way it's acting right now. I think it's probably a given in the marketplace. And so if, in fact, that was the case and it was business as usual, trying to really get on the unemployment number and lowering that and initiating some job things, my personal view is that I think what needs to be done and by whoever gets in, but let's say it's status quo, is that we need to have some definitive long-term guidance. In other words, you know, every 3 months or 6 months or whatever, changing the tax code or lowering this or lowering that or taking this, you know, and all these Kmart 15-minute specials that have occurred in the last 4 years really is hard to play the game.
Right.
And if you, we've talked about on numerous occasions here, the relatively low yield in CDs and money markets.
Okay.
All right.
Right.
And the reason I bring that up is that if I'm a CEO of the company, you know, why do I have billions of dollars? I mean, literally, there's $10 trillion in the money market. That money could pay for all the mortgages that are outstanding, right? So we have $10 trillion getting 0% relatively. And why is that? Well, because CEOs are reluctant to play the game before they know what the rules are going to be. And so
sure.
If we have status quo and status quo gives us and gets us some rules, whether you and I like them or not, but we have rules and we can then play the way, you know, the rules are, I think the economy is going to continue to perk up, all right?
Mm-hmm.
If, in fact, the direction becomes more regulation, more anti-business type sentiment, higher taxes across the board, some disincentives, I would suspect that that's not into the marketplace.
Okay. What happens? Let's go to the other extreme. Voters throw them out, and we have a changeover. Republican presidents say Republicans control everything.
Yeah. You know, your gut tells you, well, Republican in business, all right? But Republican everything, I think, would initially be a strong rally, you know, with the market now probably discounting Obamacare potentially being altered, if not, you know, start from scratch, which obviously there's a lot of additional costs, there's some additional taxes, and there's some things that really take money out of the economy. So that would be one thing. Two, the tax situation, you know, individually, if they come through, it would be a reduction on the marginal rates of taxes, but if they eliminate some of the write-offs, it probably could be neutral.
Right.
So you pay at a less marginal rate, but you don't have as many deductions. And I think making things simpler would be good. I think there's a real there's a couple things going on in this country. I just think that if you had all Republicans, I mean, you look at this whole natural gas, fracking, energy that is going on, the ramifications of that are huge. And, you know, the transcontinental or trans-Canadian pipeline that Obama temporarily or maybe permanently dismantled to get that oil from Canada to Louisiana and would be tremendous. I mean, we could go in 2005, we imported 60% of our energy needs. We're now down to 42% of our energy needs. It could create more businesses. They're doing it for trucks in terms of allowing them to run on natural gas. If that's as successful, because they're building filling stations across the country as we speak, it could turn into cars, which is, you know, a lot of industry we're exporting and things like that. So if you get some
Pro-growth.
Pro-growth. I mean, again, if you hearken back to Reagan, and when Reagan came in, you know, he did a lot of these type of things, which really set the footing for from 1982 to 1999, which Reagan, that was the beginning of the Reagan, you know, the S&P 500 went up 18% a year for over the 18-year or 19-year span of time. So, a Republican, I think, would initially be a fairly good market surge.
Okay. But if it is a status quo, or at least they're split in any way, shape, or form, and these fellows can finally get together and work out a compromise and say, okay, we're going to do this, we're going to start addressing our fiscal problems, we're going to start addressing... We haven't even talked about infrastructure. A professional group of engineers has said the nation's infrastructure needs big help.
Right.
It's not a question of if we will have a bridge collapse like happened in the Twin Cities. It's when.
Right.
And they're talking about like an investment bank, private government type of an agency or a partnership to try and get infrastructure projects going around the country. That could be a big boost to the economy.
Yeah.
If we could get people to start working together, how would the market react to that? Probably, I would think, pretty positively.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I think the greatest cloud over our country, seeing them both internationally and domestically, is the guys running the show on the political side, which makes the rules, right, and determines fiscal policy, is totally, you know, not in sync. And any spirit of cooperation, and like I go back to what I said previously, if we can get some definitive rules, I think in the next... You know, next term for sure could be pretty rosy, because in addition to the fracking, we've got, you know, my first mortgage was 13.75%.
Okay.
Now, you know, depending on 15 or 30, you know, you're paying 3 or 4% depending on your term. In most places, except for maybe the big cities, i.e. New York and Miami, L.A., housing prices are still relatively depressed. And my point is, if we can get some confidence, that will continue to help the housing market. And when you buy a new house, you get new carpet and you paint the walls, and
sure,
that helps the economy. And the average age of automobiles on the road today is 11 years old. So we have an outdated, old group of cars that, again, will be required to turn over and things like that. So cars and housing tend to be two of the strong backbones when economic growth is vibrant.
Okay. So there's some reason for some optimism. But it's going to be interesting to see how this all plays out.
It certainly will. You know, I just think it's funny because of media and so many question marks and stuff. You know, the big picture is, you know, the market's up double digits this year. If it continues on this, it'll be the ninth year in 10 years that the stock market's been up. But yet, the doom and gloom, people are putting their money in bond funds. And really, and so there's a whole bunch of money sitting on the sideline that could fuel the fire if we got a little confidence.
And the folks at Buena Vista Investment Management can help you with some of those investment decisions. Give them a call at 715-422-0700, 422-0700. Well, Peter, we got the football season, the Big Ten football season starting, and we're counting down to a very interesting election year, and it's going to be an interesting time. Some final thoughts.
Well, I just think that it continues to be a market that you have to be somewhat spry and flexible and things like that. But I do think that, you know, as bad as it seems, that you know, most times in the darkest before the dawn, and I do think that you know, we will once again prevail and things will be good, and it may be a step backwards before we go forward, but I think that everybody's in a position where they can't afford to be belligerent much longer.
Okay. I thank you for your time, sir. Have a great weekend.
Same to you.
And that wraps up Financial Insights from Buena Vista.